as we begin a new series this week, and we're going to spend a few weeks talking about prayer, about coming to you and talking to you. Father, open our hearts and minds and give us wisdom. And help us to be open to your word. We can take your word into our hearts, into our lives, and make it who we are. Bless us to that, we pray. In Jesus' name. As I shared last week, as we begin the rest of this year, everything is sort of tied together, but it starts off with the idea of prayer. And I wanted to say that as we start talking about prayer, I know prayer gets preached a lot about all over the place. It gets preached about a lot. And so many times we talk about prayer, most of us feel sort of inadequate, you know. We sort of feel that, you know, we talk about prayer and how we should pray, and we talk about the saints of old, you know, and St. John spending 3 hours every morning in prayer. And we talk about the great prayer warriors, and we look at our prayer lives and we feel about that big, you know. We feel like that we're just not cutting the mustard. You know, we're missing something. We're missing something. So I want to tell you that as we go through prayer these next few weeks, the purpose of this is not to make us feel bad. Purpose is not to beat us over the head and, you know, just sort of like, pound on us because we're not doing it right. Okay? Because we're not going to talk about that. We're talking about effective prayer, and it's going to end up the idea of the effective prayer for change. And today all we're going to do is sort of introduce the idea, introduce the subject, and introduce that. And so we're going to talk about two basic things. Now you have this wonderfully crafted and beautiful outline in your bulletin, okay? Hang on to that. Use it as a tool of research. Probably not going to spend a lot of time on that, okay? I just wanted you to have some fuel so you can look at things on your own. Because we're going to look at two sides of prayer today. We're going to look at two things. And as we look at these two things today, it sort of gives us a foundation. And that's all I want to do is lay a foundation from the Scripture about prayer. Just to get us sort of you lay that foundation out, you get the outline of your structure, your building you're going to build, and you dig your footers, and you pour that concrete, and everything's going to sort of build up on that. And that's all we're doing today, laying that foundation down. And we're going to start with a passage, Colossians 4, 2-3. We can put up the first slide, and we'll sort of get this idea. You won't see this in the alley. There we go. The first idea we're going to talk about is this devoted prayer and relationship. We're going to talk about two sides today. We're going to talk about devoted prayer. We're going to talk about targeted prayer. Devoted prayer, targeted prayer. Okay? Got that? This devoted prayer. And that's where we're going to start. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, Paul says, and I want you to note the tone of the words, okay? Because it's so important to get the tone of the words. Because if you don't get that, you don't get the message, right? Just think of that. Somebody says, looks in your eyes and looks deeply into your eyes and says, you know, I love you. That really says something. If somebody says, yeah, I love you, that says something totally different. So we want to make sure we get the tone. So he says here, listen to the tone of this. It's command terminology. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us also that God may open a door for the message to speak the mystery of the Messiah for which I'm in prison, that I may reveal it as I am required to speak. I want to concentrate on that second verse in particular where he says, devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert in it with thanksgiving. Just right there. This is something we're supposed to be devoted to. And I think sometimes those two concepts, devoted to devotion and prayer, for most Christians, are as far apart from each other as East is from the West. Right? I mean, just think about it. Think of what devotion means. You know, devotion means, I can say this honestly, I'm devoted to my wife, which means I'm going to spend as much time with her as I can. I'm going to take her away and get away with her, and we're going to be together. I'm devoted to her. We're going to spend time together. We're going to do things together. We're going to experience life together. Devotion means that. Now, just think about it. I don't want you to raise your hand. But how many of you don't exactly feel that when you come to prayer? We don't think that way, do we? We don't associate those concepts. And yet Paul says we're supposed to be associating those concepts. We're supposed to be devoted to prayer. Some of us are devoted fans of teams. You know, we watch a lot of Dodger games at our house. And, you know, last night the screaming and yelling at times at our house because of the Dodger game. And we watch football when football comes on, you know. And there's a little bit of excitement when Green Bay plays, you know. And there's a little bit of excitement when the Steelers play. And then there's real excitement when the Patriots play. You know, our house is sort of divided in all of those things. You know, and it doesn't matter how they're doing. It doesn't matter how they're doing. You know, we're devoted. We get excited about that. And some of you get excited about the teams you support. You're devoted. Is that the concept you associate with prayer? Then I want to plant that seed, that perception and how we see something affects how we experience it. And this isn't a command in the sense of Paul looking down at us and going, you're supposed to, you know, like an angry husband or an angry wife, you're supposed to be devoted to me. That's not it. He's planting a seed of relationship. And it's supposed to be relationship devotion. No relationship can exist without effective communication. And prayer is part of that communication process. So he says, be devoted to me. Be devoted. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Get some passion to this. Get some passion to this. And I'll tell you what. Sometimes it just seems like it's been a long time. There's been a little passion in prayer. And we need to get some passion to it. I mean, you don't think Paul knows how we are? You don't think Paul and God knows how we are? Do you notice what he says? Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert. Stay alert in it. How many times you still go to prayer? Okay, I'm going to spend some time in prayer. You read a little Bible, you spend some time in prayer, and a few minutes later, you're getting the nods. You know, you're sitting there, I got to pray to God. Where's my 5-hour energy drink? You know, where's my Monster? You know, where's my Red Bull? I got to pray. Where's the Red Bull so I can be able to stay awake? God knows how we are. He knows how we, if we don't have passion, we lose focus. If you don't have passion, you lose focus. So he says, be devoted to prayer. Develop passion. So I want to plant that seed because we want over the coming weeks for that seed of passion to take root in our hearts and to grow. He knows. He's got to, when you imagine, and it's a number of times in Scripture, a number of times in the New Testament, where he talks about prayer and he says, stay alert. Just think of the night that Jesus was betrayed. You know, and they go through that whole night and they get done and they go out to the garden and Jesus says, okay, guys, you know, Jesus knows what's coming, and he's tried to tell him, and he's going, you know, pray with me, just pray, you know, pray for an hour. And he goes away, and he prays, and, you know, the drops of blood, and the angels come and minister to him, and he's going, oh, this prayer, he comes back, and they're asleep. Isn't that the way it is? You know, I'm going to pray when I go to bed. Dear Father, oh, there's the alarm, you know. He says a number of times, stay alert, stay awake. Can't you stay awake? Can't you stay awake? If you have passion, that's not a problem. It's really not a problem. Now, I'll admit, sometimes on Sunday afternoon, we'll go home, there's nothing going on, no other sports going on. I play golf a little bit. I'll put on a golf tournament and take a nap. Kathy will come in, there'll be a golf tournament on, I'll be asleep. Now, I haven't slept through a Patriots game yet. Now, I'll admit, I have fallen asleep in the Dodger game. But you see what I mean? Where your passion is, there's focus. So he said, plant that seed. Begin to think about that. God, begin to just ask God that. Every time you pray, no matter what you're praying for, God, I want to build this passion. I want to feel this. I want to have some passion for talking to you. I want to have some devotion to this. Because it's about relationship. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, with prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit. See, you can't have a relationship with God when you're born again and you are a new creature and He gives you His Spirit to live inside of you. You're in relationship. This is about relationship. And I realize there's all kinds of interpretations for what praying in the Spirit can mean. Okay? And they're probably all about equally valid because it's about relationship. And how you come at it. And it's about being in the Spirit, being united with God.
your spirit and his spirit together. It's about relationship. We need to see that, because sometimes we just sort of create this sort of break. Remember the echelon of relationship metaphors? You know what happens? We're here at communion time, and we're up at the top. We're lovers of God, and he's loving us. God so loved the world, he gave his son, and he loves us, and we're taking that love in, and we're loving him. And we go to prayer, and we're back to dirt, you know? Or if we've got a little skill in prayer, we're up to sheep. We can hear his voice, you know? God is saying, come to me, and we're going, you know? And we get to be servants. And it becomes obedience. Oh, yes, oh, I'll do it, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. And he doesn't want us living at that level of cold obedience. He wants us living in relationship. See? So it's a relationship thing. So we need to be devoted. It helps our relationship. And it's something we need to be, you know, coming back to it. There has to be some persistence. You know how many times? I mean, Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Even Ephesians 6:18. Pray in all times that the Spirit stay alert with this, in this, with all perseverance. Again, in prayer, stay alert with this, with all perseverance. He said, you need to persevere. You need to persevere. You need to persevere. You know what persevere means? Who knows what persevere means? Keep going. Don't give up. Don't stop. No matter how rough it gets, no matter how bad it gets, keep going. So Paul, you know, he's sitting there. He's right there with us. He says, you know, you develop a passion for this. You get a focus on it. It's about relationship. And you hang in there with it. You hang in there with it. You hang in there with it. And the context is, it doesn't matter whether you're just praying and praising him and acknowledging him and worshiping him, whether you're bringing intercession and request to him. It doesn't matter what you're praying, what you're praying about. You need to be persistent. I mean, Jesus even tells a story, you know, in Luke 18, tells them the story of this widow who went before a judge. And it says the judge did not fear God or man. He didn't respect man, didn't fear God. And he just ignored her and turned her down and turned her down until she kept coming and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And he kept turning her down, turning her down, turning her down, turning her down. And he finally gets to the point where he says, even though I don't fear God and I don't respect man, yet I will give her justice. So she won't wear me out with her persistent coming. And then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? See, he wants us to be persistent. And it's not that he's going to do it because we just keep hanging in there and bugging him, you know, just like, you know, get in the car and go on a little trip. Kids are in the back seat. You know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I mean, they're 29 years old, but are we there yet? Are we there? You know what I mean? It's you know, that's not it, you know. It's hanging in there with prayer. You're in a relationship. Don't you have to hang in there with relationship? I don't know any marriage that hadn't had rough spots. I don't know any marriage that hadn't had difficult times. Whether those difficult times were in their relationship itself, or whether those difficult times were physical challenges, whether it was great illness, and whether it was, you know, had to do with family or whatever, finances, everybody goes through tough times. And the only way you make it through to 61 years, good heavens, is you hang in there, you persist. See? So with prayer, we have to plant the seed to develop the passion, so we have the focus that builds the relationship. And we keep persisting in it. And then back to Ephesians 6:18, it has to do with intercession. He says, with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. We lift each other up. We bring each other into it. Because you're not in this alone. See? Sometimes that's where we fail. We get all of this. Okay, I get this. I get this passion, you know, devotion, persistence, relationship. We get this. But we're out there like the Lone Ranger. We don't even have our faithful Indian companion with us. And we're doing it all by ourselves. We're not supposed to do it all by ourselves. He says with intercession for all the saints. We're supposed to be praying for each other. We're supposed to be together in this. We're supposed to hang together. And you know what? Remember that Benjamin Franklin gentleman You know, if we don't hang together, we'll all hang separately. You know, that's the idea. We got to hang together in this. We got to be persistent, but it's together. We're in relationship not just with God, because when you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and He places His Holy Spirit inside of you, He places you. You are born again, not just into Him, but into the body of Christ, which is the church. He puts you into relationship not just with Him, but with each other. And in fact, He creates an image where how we relate to each other in our families at home and on our families in the church is supposed to be a little bit of heaven, a little bit of what heaven is like. We're in this together. So we're supposed to pray for each other, bring each other into it. Pray with each other. That's why it's so important to do those things. That's why, how many times have you heard me and other people say, you know, when someone comes to you and it doesn't matter whether you are, you're standing in Albertsons, you know, standing, well, there's no Albertsons anymore. You're standing in one of the other places and you're standing in line to buy groceries and you're talking to somebody and they say, well, you want me to pray for you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that would be nice. Pray for them. Don't ever say, yes, I will pray for you. Don't ever say that. Stop right there, put your hand on their shoulder, and pray for them. Do it. See? That's just Nike commercial. Just do it. See? So you got to be, you bring others into it. Then he says, pray with thanksgiving. And a great passage from Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. You know what Thanksgiving is about? It's about attitude. It's about attitude. Because how many of you ever prayed when you were angry? You ever prayed when you were mad? Somebody's really ticked you off. You know, you're watching the news. I mean, I don't watch the news that much anymore. I try to stay abreast of what's going on, but I don't concentrate on it because I don't want to be that angry guy. You know? That angry guy. You know, I've told that story that I have. My grandfathers fought in the French and Indian War, in the Revolutionary War, in the War of 1812, and in the Civil War, in the First World War, in the Second World War. Him fought in the Iraqi War. I've got generations of family that has fought for this country, and I watch it going down the tubes. And if I concentrate on that, then I'd be walking around just... You ever try to pray when you're mad? God! You really need to bless this guy. Because if you don't bless him, I'm going to beat him. Maybe be honest, you know. Thanksgiving is about attitude. Just pray with thanksgiving. You want to change your attitude, somebody? Start being thankful. Start saying thank you, God, for this person. I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know why they're doing what they're doing and why they're being so mean or hostile or whatever. But thank you for them. And I want you to begin to be thankful. Express gratitude. Gratitude changes your attitude. See, gratitude changes it. So you bring that into it. And then you have to have faith. And you get back to that passage where Jesus talks about do not worry in Matthew. And he says, don't worry about your clothes or how, you know, see how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. He goes on to talk about that and he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, if here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You gotta pray with faith. But if you don't believe God's gonna do it, what are you talking about? See? Now you begin to see the foundation of prayer. What we've done is we've just laid it all out. We put the walls, the foundation for the walls around, and you know, we're sort of getting it so we can build something. We begin to build on it. That's devotion to relationship. Now, why do most of us pray? Most of us pray situationally, don't we? I mean, we're going to be honest. Most of us don't pray just because, oh, good, I'm going to talk to God today, you know, and, you know. It's not like, well, I can't say that. Most of us guys don't do that. You girls may do that. Because I know guys and men and women are different. I can remember when I used to have to drive Eric and Sarah when they were younger to Long Beach, and we would go on this long drive to Long Beach, and we would go down and for the longest time, Eric would sit in the front with me, and Sarah would sit in the back, and she'd go to sleep, and Eric and I would drive along. Oh, look there, Dad. Oh, look there, Dad. And we'd just drive along. Then there came a time Eric got a little older, and he got a job. He couldn't come up as often. And Sarah would get in the front seat with me. And we would leave here to drive to Long Beach, and Sarah would start going, da-da-da-da-da, you know, all the way to Long Beach. La-da-da-da. I couldn't tell you what she said. There was no continuity to what she said, but she talked the whole time. you know, and I did the, yeah, oh, that's cool. You know, I just sort of interjected every once in a while and kept it going. It was wonderful. You just talk. So you girls may be able to do this. You know.
Preach it, brother.
You know, and some guys can do it. But most of us don't talk just to talk. You know? I mean, think of all the marriage seminar things we've watched. All, you know, the laugh your way to a better marriage and love and respect. You know, and guys will sit there together on the, you know, on the couch and the love seat next to each other with the remote between them and just, you know, they're cool. They don't just say anything. And not the one you're married to. Well, not everybody fits the mold, you know, but we should. But you get the idea. Most of us pray situationally. Something happens, we pray. We don't pray relationally. So the first part of this is learning to pray relationally. We pray because we have a relationship with God that involves devotion and relationship and persistence and all of those things. Okay? Understand that. That's where we want to go with that. But also understand, most of us pray situationally. We pray in response to a situation to affect change. Isn't that how most of the time it happens? One of the greatest verses about that, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You probably know this. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, put up the next slide. I'm going to show you something. I was looking at this passage. I was thinking about this yesterday. We were driving back from Laverne, back, you know, from down there, you know. Kathy went to a baby shower, and Tim and Tracy and I got to go to Bass Pro Shop. Manly stuff. Love that store. Could wander around there all day. But I'm coming home, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about this verse. Thinking about this verse, 2 Chronicles. This is my viewer. Call by my name, you know, do all this stuff. But I'm thinking, oh, yeah, let's just, I plan for the nation. We change the nation. And I realized that there's principles here. It's not just about the nation. It's a layer thing. And I want to call it targeting prayer for change. So I want us to understand we're going to pray in relationship, we're also going to pray for change. But I want you to understand that we pray for the nation, that's out here, that's the big picture. We pray for the nation, and believe me, please pray for the nation. Every day. Okay? Pray for the nation. But that also implies something a little smaller. We pray for community. Praying for the nation to change isn't going to happen unless we pray for our community to change. If we want our nation to be to have a revival and a spiritual awakening and have Christians get on fire for the Lord and have people turning to the Lord, which what those two things mean, is if it's going to happen on the national level, it has to happen within our community. That means we pray for each other and pray for all the churches, that all the churches catch on fire and all that things that take place. If that's true, then it goes down to the church. That's the next layer. If we're going to pray for the nation to change, that means our community has to change, and that may mean the church community. And we need to pray for every church needs to pray for its family. That God is alive and active, and the Spirit is alive and active, and things are happening, and people are developing passion and devotion to prayer and all these things. We need to pray for that. But if that's happening on the church family level, it also needs to happen in your individual family level. If it's not happening in your family at home, believe me, it ain't going to happen here. If you're not on fire for God there, you're not on fire for God here. It isn't going to have any effect on your community. And where you end up with is the heart. We want to pray for a revival in our land. I remember a great preacher from the 1800s. If you want to pray for revival in your land, you get on the knees and you draw a circle around yourself. And you start there. Now, it's hard to portray this two-dimensionally. You've probably seen these wind things. I don't know what they're called. They're made like a spiral. And they'll go, you know, you have to picture this as something that goes in and out. It's fluid. You know, where the outside is the same, but the inside goes in and out, and the spiral expands like a slinky. You know, you get the idea?
and your heart is right there. Because sometimes you're praying, and you're praying in this way. You're praying for the nation, and so you're praying in this way. Other times, you're praying here. You're praying at the heart, and you're praying outside. It's fluid. You're praying for change, and you're praying for the nation, and things to change. And that can be changing your family, changing your work, and your relationship, whatever. You're praying for change, and you're praying from the outside in. But every once in a while, you've got to pray from the inside out. Because sometimes I think there are a lot of people who are praying, nothing seems to be happening, because they're only praying from the outside in, but they're not praying from the inside out. That's why we start laying the foundation and having this passion and devotion to God in prayer, because that gets the heart right with God. If this is going to work, this has to be right. If this isn't right, that's not going to work. I mean, what does he say? James, you ask, you don't receive. Because you ask for it wrongly, so that you can spend it on your desire for pleasure. If you ask, you don't get anything, you don't receive. Why? Because it's not right. Your heart's not right. Your heart's not right. This is a very fluid thing. It's in and out and in and out and in and out. We got to pray for the nation. Pray from the outside in. Pray for the nation and your community and your church and your family. And pray for your heart to be right, but pray from the inside out, that from your heart. What does Jesus say? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. When the Pharisees accosted Jesus because they were eating things and not being clean, not washing their hands 18 million times before they picked up a piece of bread, he says, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. He says, don't you know that whatever goes into a man, goes through him, is eliminated? Doesn't make him clean or unclean before God. But what comes out of the heart is what makes them clean or unclean before God. And then he goes, for out of the heart of man comes, and he lists all the bad, negative sins and attitudes that exist in the world today. That's what comes out of the heart. You see this reflected in the New Testament. Just look at Galatians 5. Don't you love that verse in Galatians 5? For the fruit of the Spirit. Remember? Praying in the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Hey, should list out all those things? But you've got to read that in context. Read the verse before it. That's crazy stuff. See if my Bible has Galatians in it. Sometimes it does. Sometimes I can't find it. There it is. So read it in its context. Listen to verse 16, Galatians 5. Paul says, So I say this. Coming to a conclusion, wrapping it all up, bringing it all together. So this is what I say. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Track that a little bit, okay. They are in conflict with one another. Yes, Paul, you're right. We are born into a battleground. A battleground of the forces of hell and the forces of heaven is fight out on earth in our lives every day. This is there in conflict with one another. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But before he ever gets to the fruit of the Spirit, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Okay, there's America in the Middle East. I mean, just think about that. Everything that's wrong in the world, right there. And then the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. Kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. See what he does? If the heart is right before God, you come to the Lord, and that's what you got to understand is he takes that old deceitful heart out and he gives you a new heart. You're a new creation. And what you're doing is that you don't have to create a new heart. You have a new heart. You just have to help it grow.
You just got to need to feed it and water it so it develops this fruit that it's supposed to do. And you do that by all the Christian stuff that we're supposed to do, reading the Bible and praying, coming to fellowship with one another, studying together, encouraging one another, witnessing, sharing our faith, worshiping. All of those things sort of feed and water and give nutrients to that heart that's supposed to grow in these things. And then the Spirit, when all of that is taking place, takes all of those nutrients that are coming in through those things, causes us to grow in love and in joy and in peace and in patience and all of those things. It's a marvelous system that God has developed. But if you're not living there, you're living in those verses before that.
Is the sinful nature
or the renewed heart? That's why this is so cool. That's why if we want to pray for effective change, we need to, number one, we'll build on this foundation of being devoted to prayer and relationship. We're going to build on that these next few weeks and really try to develop that so we get this idea. And that it makes this more effective. But if the heart isn't right, change is not going to happen. But if you're a believer, he's given you a new heart. But you control the direction of that heart. God does not force himself on anyone. Because he gets past that, doesn't he? We're no longer dirt, right? No longer. I mean, we'll always be a little clay, you know, all clay-like. He could mold us, but we're no longer dirt. And we're no longer dumb sheep, I would hope. You know? You can't say that about everybody, but most of us are no longer dumb sheep. Don't look at each other when, you know. But you get that idea. You know? And I think there's a lot of people stuck on the servant level. You know, it's just, oh, this is what we got to do this. It's all obedience. You know, we were stuck right there. But that's where the Pharisees were. So if you want to be with the Pharisees, you get stuck there. But that's not it. It's about family being his children. It's about being his friend. It's about being a lover of God. Do you want to have the right heart? That heart has to be a lover of God and loved by God. When you have that, when you have a love relationship, obedience never comes into the picture. You don't think of love in terms of obedience, do you? You think of love in terms of sacrifice, giving, and sharing, and uplifting, and encouraging, and serving. It's not about obedience, it's about love. But today we want to start. We want to start learning about prayer. Start building a different foundation, creating a different perception of it. And if we can build on the right foundation, build this into something that has some passion to it in our lives. Build prayer so we have some passion. We're devoted to it. And it's relational. It's in the Spirit. And it's persistent and it hangs in there. And it's attitudinal. We're thankful. We're coming to him with grace and thanksgiving and receiving his grace. And we're coming to him in faith. And we build on that. We build on that. This begins to take place. Targeted prayer for change begins to actually have effect. Because the heart going in the right direction. Remember, it's not a matter of being there. You'll not be there until you get to heaven. You're not going to achieve this until you fully get to heaven. Get that. You know, we're on process. It's not a matter of destination. We know the destination is the destination of heaven. It's a matter of directionality and movement. So as we build on the foundation so that we can have effective change and targeted prayer, for some it is just going to be a matter of changing direction. Having movement. Because until we get to heaven, all of our Christian life, everything in our Christian life, is a matter of direction and movement. He wants us moving in the right direction, and he wants us moving. You know, he wants us going. That's why he says, because if we do this, then that leads us to our job. You know, this isn't our job. Hope you get that. This is not our job.
This may be a conceptual change. And if it's a conceptual change, a paradigm change, great. This is not our job. This is our relationship. You're going to go home. We're going to go home after this. I'm going to go home with Kathy. She's my wife. It's our relationship. This is that. This is home. This is our relationship. Our job is something else. But you see, if you do this right, you can go do your job. What is your job? Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. We have a job to do. This isn't our job. See, this is where we mess up. I think this is where sometimes the church has really messed up. You know, on different levels. Some think our job is worship. Some think our job is service and you know, doing service projects. Well, it's good. That's all part of it. But some think our job is prayer. You know, that's all part of it. But that's all part of home. That's part of relationship. Our job, one job, is to speak and save the lost. That's why it's so powerful. That's why if you're ever here in Sunday school and you hear George or Jim talking about being in the Gideon and passing out Bibles to the schools and the colleges and the fire stations, they can't do it without tears coming in their eyes. Seeking and saving the lost. That's our job. So what we're going to do is we learn to make this relationship really strong. We're free to do our job. How hard is it to do your job when things are coming apart at home? Get that? You all live there, right? Things are bad at home, and things are bad health-wise or home-wise, and you go to work, and are you focused at work? Probably not. So we're going to start at home. We're going to start at home. Build this so that we can do our job, which is out there. This isn't our job. Coming here isn't our job. Coming here is coming home. Our job is out there, where the lost are. I come to seek and save the lost. So we want to get ready and free to do what we're called to do this morning. Think, begin to think, begin to pray, begin to ask God to develop passion, devotion, passion, prayer, to make it something that is faithful, thankful, and persistent, and relational, and all of those things. And ask God, just start there. Just start there. Just start there. Just every day. God, I want to pray, but I want this. I don't want to just come to you in prayer. God, okay, I've got to pray. God, thank you for this day. It's a great day. Thank you, God. Okay, we're going to go to work now. But I want to develop a relationship. I want to talk to you, God, the way I talk to my family, to the people that I love. Start there. Just start there. And then as we build on this, We'll go through all kinds. We'll look at this all kinds of ways and see all kinds of mechanics and tools we can use. That's all great. But it starts with the heart. You control that. Spirit of the prophet is under the control of the prophet. You control your heart. You can choose. But choose to start building this passion so that you can begin to have effective prayer, and you're free to go do our job. Father God, thank you for today. It's so great to be in your house and to be together. It's so great to be part of your family, or part of this family here, and part of the family in all the Christians in our valley here. Just such great people. We thank you that we get to be part of that. We want to approach you, Father. We want to build this relationship. We want to build our passion for you. We want to move off the servant level. We want to experience what it means to be your child. We want to learn what it means to be your friend. We want to learn what it means to love. To be loved by you. To love you. To develop that passion. Because if we have that, prayer's not going to be an issue. Staying alert is not going to be an issue. Being persistent and faithful and strong and thankful is not going to be an issue. We have that passion. And when we pray with that passion, we can affect change. Father, that change enables us to do our job, which is to save the lost.
and they don't see a change in us, and they don't see a passion, that if we're more passionate about our football team than we are about you, they'll come watch a game with us, but they'll never come to church. If we don't get that right, we miss the point. So Father, we start today planting the seed of passion